In 1966, at the age of just 22, Jackie Pullinger graduated from the Royal College of Music, and she knew that God was calling her to be a missionary. And so on the advice of her vicar, she sailed to Hong Kong, and when she arrived, she had just $10 to her name. She had left her comfortable Western life behind and gone to the poorest parts of Hong Kong City, working amongst the gangs, where she put herself in considerable danger. Yet after the first 6 months, she had reflected that she had achieved little. She had been telling people about God's love, but not showing them his love. And so then she changed what she was doing. She started practically helping them, helping the drug addicts and providing food and shelter for the homeless. And through her hard work and dedication to prayer, she saw an amazing turnaround and has since seen over 500 people saved from their addictions and has a ministry which is operating throughout Asia and the Indian subcontinent. In our Bible reading, we likewise see a life that is transformed by the calling of God. Elijah had fled into the desert, and the Lord had appeared to him, telling him to anoint Hazael king over Aram, Jeru king over Israel, and Elisha to succeed him as a prophet. When Elijah sees Elisha, he finds him hard at work, plowing a field with 12 pairs of oxen. Elijah goes up to Elisha, takes off his cloak and throws it around him. The cloak was the prophet's garment, known as his mantle. It was made from animal hair, and he threw it onto Elisha's shoulders, the act symbolizing Elisha's call to the prophetic ministry. Immediately, Elisha leaves his oxen and runs after Elijah, stopping only to kiss his mother and father goodbye. Then he slaughters his oxen, which would have been worth a fortune back then, and probably now also, and offers them on the fire he has made, using his own plough and yoke as the wood. And so by burning his plough and killing his oxen, he is essentially burning his bridges. From now on, there is no way back to his former life. And so we are told that he sets out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. And the word here is the same word used to describe Joshua's relationship to Moses. And we see a similar pattern here. As he follows his master, he starts to do the things that his master did. We saw the same with Joshua. When Joshua enters the promised land, the waters of the Jordan parts for the people to cross in the same way the waters of the Red Sea have parted for Moses. And so where Elijah had seen God provide for the widow and her son, with the jar of flour that didn't run out and the jug of oil that didn't dry up, so Elisha goes on to see another widow be supplied with oil miraculously, this time enough to pay off her debts. In fact, the first miracle that we see Elisha do, just as Elijah is taken up to heaven, is to take Elijah's cloak, the same one that he had previously put on his shoulders, the mantle, and walk up to the River Jordan, where he declares, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" And here we see the power of God at work, the God who has power over nature, parts the Jordan in the same way that he had done for Joshua, leaving with the people with no doubt that Elisha really was God's chosen prophet. And so Elisha goes on to do even more miracles than Elijah did. He even goes on to complete that request from God that was given to Elijah to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. The power of God was not just for his day. Jackie Pullinger, who I mentioned earlier, is a person who has seen the power of God at work. And it's by that power that she has seen so many people set free and come to faith in Christ. But Elisha's call to follow in Elijah's footsteps was not an easy one. It took him from the safety of his home, and it would nearly cost him his life. To follow God is to undertake a journey, one that involves leaving the old behind and walking along a new path. In Luke's Gospel, we read that Jesus is teaching on the cost of discipleship. And he says to another, this is Jesus, said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go say well to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. At first, these verses are very shocking. We often hear that to follow Jesus is costly, but this man's simple request to bury his father seems to be shot down. So what is really going on here? Well, I imagine if the man's father had have died, he wouldn't have been following Jesus around, but he would have been at home organising the funeral, something which needed to happen very quickly in first century Israel. And so what this man was really asking for was to wait until his father had passed away, and then he would follow Jesus, something which could have been many years away. Jesus' response to him was that he needed him now to proclaim the kingdom of God. When the second man asks just to say goodbye to his family, Jesus then reminds us of Elisha ploughing in the field. No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit to enter the kingdom of God. And we know that Elisha didn't look back. He had left his old life with finality. And so after saying goodbye to his parents, he burnt his plough, leaving himself with the only option of following God. Elisha burning his plough and yokes is a striking symbol. I'm sure you know that the yoke is the part of the animal's tack that goes over its head, resting onto its shoulders, and it's what the animal has to pull against. It's what keeps it moving in a straight line, and it's through that yoke that the animal completes its task. And so Elisha, in burning his physical yokes, was to take up for himself not the yoke of sin, as many had done in his day, but was instead to take up the yoke of God, choosing to trust in God for his direction, in the same way that the oxen had trusted him as he guided them. He would from now on be working for God, trusting in God's guidance to direct him. Jesus is calling us to be disciples of him, and we must not look back on those things of our former life, but we should keep our vision ahead, trusting in God's direction. Amen.